listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." We're going to pause there because there are some things that I don't want us to miss before we jump into verse 4. And the first is, look at the repetition, right? You know, when you're in a Bible class, one of the first things they tell you for is look for patterns, look for repetition, right? And so the author of Isaiah here is saying what? Come and listen, right? See how many times that those phrases are repeated. It's like, this is really important. I'm trying to get your attention. This stuff is going to be pertinent to your life. Come and listen. And then he starts talking about this language of drinking and eating for free, right? Without money and without cost, coming and buying and enjoying. And this is really substantial. Stupid microphone, I hate your guts. Because in the ancient world, what we need to understand is that to share a meal with somebody is your way of saying, I accept you, I welcome you, I celebrate you. That doesn't always come across in our modern world, you know. But if you think about it, it's not like you eat meals most of the time with people you're not in relationship, right? Like, normally you eat meals with friends, with families. Like, it's a American institution that when you are trying to go out on a date, you should probably stuff some food in your mouth together. Like, that's a part of the ritual, right? See if she smacks her food. In the ancient world, it's much more significant than that. It's like, if you were having a meal with somebody, it's the significance of saying, I accept you, I welcome you. You are welcome to share my food. And in the modern context, this is important to me because I hate sharing food, right? Like, this is way too old of a reference for most of you, but there's a show in the 90s called Friends. You maybe have seen it on Netflix. Oh, good. People like TV. Good. Congratulations. And what's Joey's line? Joey doesn't share food. Somebody were a little bit too excited about that over there. Oh, Joey Tribbiani. And I say this to my wife all the time. Like, when we go out to eat, and like we're picking and stuff, and she's like, oh, I'm not that hungry. And I'm like, whatever, Nate doesn't share food, you know? And then, like, sometimes it'll be like, oh, what do you want for dessert? And she's like, oh, I'll just take a bite of yours. No, you won't. I'll bite your finger off. You come over here. You're not going to take a bite of my food. And so that's my wife, right? This is the person that I love more than anybody, right? I love Leah more than anybody, and I will bite her finger off. Like, I'm not messing around. So, like, to share food with somebody is, like, a big deal in modern times, but in the ancient world, even bigger deal. Even bigger deal. Like, to share food with someone is to say, I accept you, right? So this gives context, right, to why Jesus was always in trouble with the religious leaders because he's eating meals with sinners, right? In our context, it's like, what's the big deal? He's eating with people. In their context, it's like, he's saying they're acceptable to God. The religious leaders have a huge problem with this because him simply breaking bread with somebody else elevates them to the status of acceptable to God because he's a teacher of the law. And if we see in scriptures time and time again, there's this theme that comes that like people eat together to celebrate their acceptance of one another. Think of the story of the prodigal son. How's it end, right? The son comes back from disobeying and the father does what? Let's eat together. This is our symbol that you are welcome and accepted. You can come and sit at my table. You can eat my dessert. I won't even bite your fingers off, right? This is a big deal. Sharing a meal equals acceptance. You've got to understand that. So at the beginning, what do we see? The Lord saying, come have dinner. You're invited to my place. You can eat and drink. It's totally for free. I just want you to come, and I want you to be with me. Verses 4 through 9. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know will hasten to you because of the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We'll pause there again. Those verses 8 and 9, a lot of times we see that, you know, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways, and we immediately run to, oh, this is God talking about omniscience, right? He knows everything and we don't. Or we think this is God talking about omnipotence. He is all-powerful and we are finite and limited in our power. But actually, when you look at the context, he's not talking about omniscience, knowing everything. He's not talking about omnipotence, being all-powerful. What he's actually talking about in this is omnibenevolence, right? Look at the things that I bolded and highlighted for your convenience, right? Who gets a free pass? Who gets mercy? Wicked folks and unrighteous folks. So this is huge because the people that God is welcoming to have at his table, the people who he's saying comfort, the people who he's saying, I accept you where you are, these are people who are a mess. They're full of sin, they're unrighteous, they're completely ungodly, and God says, that's who I want at my table. So that's the context of my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not my, your, because we are conditioned to think disobedience gets punishment, right? This is the concept of justice. We want justice. If somebody breaks the law, they got to go to jail, right? Like relational consequences, you know, all of this stuff, we get it. So this makes God's ways and our ways different, right? Substantially different because, right, we don't understand this. Wait a minute. Who's welcome at the table of the Lord? Bad people? Sinful people? People who have messed up? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than your thoughts, so are my ways higher than, you know, like, it's substantially different than the way we think about things. And the Lord says, this is the way I do it. We need to understand this concept because it's the core of Christianity. You need to get this. Your right standing with God is not dependent on your behavior. I cannot stress this enough, right? Your right standing with God is not dependent on your behavior. It's just not. That doesn't make sense. Welcome to the mystery of Jesus. Welcome. Thank you for, you know, like, welcome. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He has so much grace that he welcomes broken sinners to his table and he says, come and eat. It's all free. I accept you. Verses 10 through 11. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish so that yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Let's stop there for a second. Who in Scripture also goes by the name the Word? Jesus? It's like a Sunday school question. The answer is always Jesus. Okay, good. Is it Jesus? That's right. You get a sticker, Timmy. The word is Jesus. Now read that passage again. As the snow and rain come down the earth and don't return without accomplishing the purposes that they were sent forth, right? Making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower, so is my word that comes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire. So this is what the Lord is saying, right? He's saying, I'm sending Jesus to be refreshing rain and life-giving water to the earth. And he is not going to leave without achieving the purposes that I send for him. This is huge, because notice that he doesn't say that Jesus is simply coming to the earth to cleanse it of its sin. This is huge. He does that. You know, rain has this effect of cleansing. You know, if you smell bad, go stand out in the rain. You won't smell as bad, okay? Like, the rain is cleansing, and so is the blood of Christ. But that's not the only purpose that it has, right? What is the other purpose? To bring life. So that the plants can, like, produce, and they can bear fruit. And they can kind of, like, rain comes down to give life. And this is the analogy that Isaiah is pointing at with the coming prophet of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right? That he is the Word, and he's going to come, and he's going to accomplish these purposes. And then the last two verses say this. As a result of these truths, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. And this will be a sign for the Lord's renown, which will never be destroyed. So a couple things. This cleansing, healing, life-giving water results in us going out into the world with joy and peace. That's pretty huge. And not only that, as we go, the entire world, the trees and the fields and the birds and the chipmunks, it's like a Snow White. Like, they're all like, they're pumped, right? They're clapping, they're cheering, they're celebrating with us. And then there's this, like, imagery that's kind of really deeply rooted in the Old Testament that maybe we didn't understand, but this idea of briars and thickets turning into trees and bushes that are beautiful and that have purpose. In the book of Malachi, wicked people are referred to as thorn bushes, right? Like, disobedient people are known as briars. So what the prophet is doing is he's evoking this imagery. He says, all of these wicked people who used to have no purpose other than to be thorny and, like, cumbersome, because of what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ, are now going to be fruitful and meaningful in the world. So I want to recap this all for you, because for me, again, this is the heart of the gospel. You get to come to the table of the Lord. You get to eat without money and without cost. And in doing so, you are found to be acceptable and pleasing to God because of what Jesus has done, right? It's not what we have done. It's what Christ has done on our behalf. So that's true. You coming to the table of the Lord is 100% because of what Jesus has done for you. And that's not the only thing, that he fills you up to bear good fruit. And if there's one thing that I would challenge in the way that I have heard the gospel before, the way that I've heard Jesus talked about before, is this. Sin is not your litmus test to whether you are connected to God. I cannot stress this enough. You know, how do I know that I'm connected with God? Well, is there sin in your life? Well, yeah. Well, maybe you're not, right? I cannot tell you how many times students come into my office, happened this week with a lovely young man, and he was like, oh, I have this sin that I struggled with like years ago, and I feel like maybe it's a burden between me and the Lord. And I'm like, did you pray for forgiveness for that? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, get over it. I don't know what to tell you. Like, okay, what else is new? Like, you know, like, but the thing is like, because our minds are so, like, conditioned to think, like, disobedience equals punishment, we have a hard time with this, right? And so we constantly are, like, searching our lives. You know, there are entire churches that are devoted to this, of, like, finding the sin in your life and rooting it out. And let me hear me say, that's great. Do that. You know, like, Jesus, don't hear me, this is a sermon of endorsing sin. But here's the thing that I really want you to know. If you forget everything else tonight about the chihuahuas and the babies and everything, think of this, all right? Sin is not your litmus test to your connection to God. bearing fruit is. You've got to hear that. Bearing fruit is what Jesus is all about. In John 15, right, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. We just went through this passage, the gifts of the spiritual fruit at the well earlier this semester. And here's the analogy I want to paint for you. Some churches and some people want you to be obsessed with keeping the bugs of sin out of your garden. Great effort. That is a noble endeavor. Hear me say that. But what Jesus wants you to do is bear fruit. Are you listening to me? Okay, good. You can have a garden completely free of bugs and not be living in the will of God. Are you hearing me? You can napalm your garden. You can spin pesticide. You can root out every sin. And if you don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, if you don't have that in your life, you are not living into what God created you for. You were made to bear fruit, to turn from being a thorn and a thistle, that's a fun word to say, into kingdom-bearing fruit plants. That's the purpose of the Lord, right? Your connection to God is a result of your fruitfulness. That song that we sang, You Are Good to Me, it's based on Psalm 23. The last part of Psalm 23 says this, right? It's on the screen. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me for the rest of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Coming to the table of the Lord isn't simply about acceptance, right? It is about that. But it's also about us getting nourishment so that we can go and live lives proclaiming the goodness of the kingdom. And so what we're going to do tonight in response is a couple things. I want us to come and take communion, right? This is here, foreshadowing that we would be doing this. And then I also have some leaders here that are going to be up front on this side and on this side. And they have anointing oil. And if you will let them, they will smear it Rafiki style on your forehead, right? Blessing you for the work the Lord has for you. And I want us to really wrap our minds around this idea that coming to the communion table and eating this amazing meal that the Lord has set out for us signifies two things. First, our unconditional acceptance to the Father because of what Jesus Christ has done. Second, that he wants to fill us up with himself so that we can go into the world and bear fruit. This is the scene, this is the Last Supper, right? This is Jesus gathering with his disciples. And he has a meal with them. And the meal signifies, you're my people. I love you. I'm going to die for you. I accept you, right? And the meal, he says, this is my body, which is given for you. And this is my blood, which is poured out for the sins of many, right? He's saying, come to the table, first because you're accepted because of what I've done for you. And secondly, so that you fill up with me to go bear fruit into the world. This is what I believe. I believe Satan spends a ton of time distracting us about whether or not we are even accepted at the table, right? And we question, oh my gosh, I totally, you know, stubbed my toe and said a curse word the other day, and I may have lusted at that chick. Maybe, we're not sure. Am I welcome at the table? Yes! Christ welcomes you because of what he's done on your behalf. So Satan tries to get us before we even get to the table. And then sometimes we get to the table and we're like, oh, I'm accepted. Cool. My job's done. And it's like, no. Hey, you got a job to do still. You got to go now, like with the nutrients and the goodness and the love of Christ you've been filled with, and go live into the world in a meaningful way. And so this is the way it plays out at my house. Rosy is easily distractible. Again, I have no idea where this comes from, okay? And what happens is we have a kitchen with two huge windows in our dining room. And we sit down, and Rosy just watches Cars. She could be part wolf, I don't know. She's like, ah, you know, and I'm like trying to give her food, and she's like, ah, you know, she misses it like 9 times out of 10 because she's so like, oh, there's another car. And I gotta like shake, like, Rosy, look at my face and put this in your mouth. And sometimes it's frustrating because it's like, quit being distracted by what's going on outside and focus on the meal that's in front of you, please, you know? And here's the analogy I want to make for us. Rosie's my daughter. If anybody's welcome at my table, it's her. Right? She's so snuggly. I love her so much. I can't tell you. And napping is good. I mean, it was. I love that crazy face, tiny human. Okay? Her disobeying me does not put in question whether she's accepted at my table. Are you hearing me? This is her table too. She's my daughter. Of course she's welcome here. You are sons and daughters of God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Do you know that? Your acceptable behavior is not a question anymore. Like you, it's your table too. Because he's your father and he loves you. Even when you mess up, even when you disappoint him, even when you let him down, your acceptance is not in question. What's in question is, are you going to be distracted by Satan's accusations? Are you going to focus on the meal? Are you going to let Jesus pour into you and transform you? And are you going to bear fruit because of your leaning on him? I'm going to have the band come back up. We're going to worship. The logistics of this is going to be thusly. People on this side, you're going to come up in the middle, and you're going to take communion only from this side. If I catch anyone, you're going to be kicked out of here. I'm just kidding. This is your pile of food, and this is your pile of food on this side, okay? And then you guys can, like, go around and go back to your seats. And if you want to, this is optional, but recommended, there are going to be people here on the side who would love just to anoint you. And they want to pray this very specific prayer over you, that you would have a greater capacity to connect to the Lord and bear more spiritual fruit in the name of Jesus Christ, right? That this meal would fill you up so that you could go out into the world and proclaim the goodness of God. Jen wants me to tell you that this is good instruction. That we're going to be taking communion by intinction, and what that means is you're going to rip off a piece of bread and you are going to dip it in the juice. Don't get your fingers in the juice. That's gross. Okay? Just dip it and then take it, knowing that if you are found in Jesus Christ, if you are a son and daughter of the living God, your acceptance at this table is not in question, right? Even if you've disobeyed recently, even if you are in the process of disobeying, God's grace is sufficient. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, I'm intentionally, deliberately disobeying the Lord. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're just higher, you know? Your acceptability is not in question here. What's in question is, will you receive this free gift of love, and will you allow it to transform you? To change the world. Jesus, we give you praise tonight. And we accept this gift, knowing that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. And yet you've made a place for us at your table. And you've invited us to come and to eat and to drink and to be filled up with you. May we say yes to that invitation. May we say yes to the gift of your grace. And may we live boldly, bearing fruit and proclaiming your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come and receive freely from the Lord.